Why did I call my message today battery not included? Because how many of you, you bought a toy for your kid in the past or whatever, and then you get under the tree and all that stuff, and you find out thing needs battery. How many? I did that a few times, and you know that's bad for the kids. The kids say, well, I got to, what can I do? Well, we'll go to the store when the store opened, and we'll get some battery, right? Because without the battery, the toys is no good. Between, you know, if you don't have the life of God in you, it makes you not very, very workable. How many have an iPhone here? Okay. Okay, you have an iPhone? You got an iPhone, Bill? Man alive, you're coming up in life, right? All right. And you know, now I heard that now you don't even have to plug them in. They're coming up with a, you just place it some between you someplace, and it just, the power just circles it or whatever, and it loads the electricity in it. Okay? You don't even have to plug them in now. Battery, the power comes from there to the cell phone, and what next? But it still has to be charged. We, as believers, still have to be charged. And you know what? The more you hang around close to God, there's going to be a field there that's going to recharge you. You have to understand that. We don't even need to be plugged into Him. We just can draw closest to Him. And somehow, when we have His Word, when we have His presence, when we have worship, when we have the Word, it just start to recharge me. That's why some of you leave here and say, wow, I can take the devil right on this week. I can take anybody, you know, because something charges you for strength. And that's good. Now, the scripture that I want to give you today is 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And if you want to bring that up, 1 John. And I'm trying to go really fast and bring my message because I want you to understand. Do we have 1 John? Okay. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide into the shadow. That's Psalm 91. It's a good one anyway. Right, Art? It's a good one. Okay. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, okay, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not have practiced the truth. Okay, the next verse, Josiah. But if we walked in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanse us from all sin. In other words, if And there's one scripture that I think we didn't put on, that God is light, and in Him there's no darkness. So the closer you draw to Him, the more light in your life comes in. How many understand that? So you draw away from God, you walk in the flesh, whatever, you walk in darkness, you do not tell the truth or whatever, you lie, what happened is you draw away from God. And you know what? As believer, God wants to use you full charge. There's nothing worse to go to the office and you look at your cell phone, 5%. I'm supposed to receive an important call, 5%. I don't have a charger or whatever. You want to be full charge all the time as a believer because you don't know who might call you, or somebody might want to talk to you. And there's nothing. Zero bar. Zero charge. Okay? So 1 John 1, 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And verse 5 and 6 says, God is light, and in Him no darkness. You know what? Some of us are in darkness because we choose to be in darkness. You don't have to be in darkness. You can be in the light. You can choose to walk in the light because you can choose to walk with God. I mean, it's a big choice. Some of us are not picking that choice. Now, Exodus 33, between verse 20 and 30, talks about Moses, okay? I just want to put some ground here, some base. And he goes into the mountain, and he talks to God. His face, I got a light here, started to shine. And he says to God, God, I want to see your glory. And God says, no, you can't see my glory. Nobody can look at me and can't see my glory because it's too powerful, too much light. Blind you, he said. But I'm going to walk before you. I'm going to put my hand on you. You stand in there in the cliff of the rock there, a little bit of shade, and you can see my back. That's how much of God Moses was able to see. He saw God's back and his face began to shine. He went down the mountain to talk to people, and people were afraid of Moses because he shone like a light bulb. Got close to the Heavenly Father. That's how close. And you know, we say we want to see his glory, but we want to see him more, but it would be hard to see God's glory because... So now we can't see God's glory in the New Testament. And now, you know, we can look at the burning bush and we can look at so many places in the Old Testament where you see the glory of God shine. There is no darkness in him. Would you like some water? You're good? Okay. So there is no darkness in him. So, okay, do you believe that God is light? Do you believe there's no darkness in him? This is awesome. You guys are believer. Okay. Now, Jesus spoke to the Pharisee. Okay, and this is what he said to them. Take heed that no light, that the light which is in you be not darkened. And he could say that to us. He was talking to the Pharisee. Watching, boy, that the light in your life be not darkened. Why did he say that? Because Pharisees study the Word of God. They studied the Bible. And they saw, there was darkness that came upon them. And when darkness came, they didn't believe certain things. And they didn't believe Jesus. And they were studying the Word of God. So studying alone is not enough. What you need is the love for God. That you are a believer. He saved you, and you don't want to live in darkness. You want to live in the light. So we study to make ourselves approved. That's great. But there's a life that comes through the Word. How many understand that? You read the Word and light come on. I was reading about the light and the darkness and the light come on. And I realized, not you. I need more light. I need more from God. More truth, more light. So he said that to the Pharisee, and I said that to them. Jesus says, I am the light, didn't he? But he also said, he says, I am the bread. Le pain. That's in French, le pain. Okay, I am the bread of life. So somehow, to get to God's light, you got to get through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus is so important. That's why you can't preach being good, doing this, and this will take you to heaven. You can't do that. Because if you want a fellowship with God, and we all know God is true, he's not a liar, he's not a man that he should lie. We're really, sometimes we lie to ourselves. We lie to others, not really sometimes meaning it, just habit. So we got to go far from that. So as you get closer to God, that drops. But you got to want and choose life. unless you choose and you want it, it's just not going to happen. Now I want to take you to one of my favorite scripture. Okay. I know I got a lot of them, but John 18, verse 38. Okay, now he's going to put them on the thing, okay? And Jesus before Pilate. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Okay? And when he had said this, he went out again and he said to them, "I find no fault in him." Okay? Well, what he said, "What is truth?" So I, by studying a little bit, I found out that truth is something that Jesus had and Pilate didn't have. You know, so Jesus says, "I'm the truth. I'm the life," right? But Pilate doesn't know. You know, my brother is a philosopher, and he asks, "What is truth?" And he goes on, blah, 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 blah. But that's not real truth. Unless you know God the Father, you don't really know the whole truth. Maybe there was a bang. Maybe there was this. Maybe there was... But when you know God and you believe God created and did this, blah, 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 he brings light into the world. He brings light into your world. He brings light in what you know and your understanding. Because you're getting close to him. You're using his word above your mind. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to. So he said, my words are life and they are truth. Now, consider that. You believe Pilate and you say, "What is true? I don't really know the truth." Or you believe Jesus. Because in a little while, we're going to look at the word of Jesus and say how much truth there is. Well, why don't we just look at that right now? Okay, listen. 18. Then Pilate entered, verse 33, to the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Doesn't know. He's not knowledgeable. And this is what Jesus says. "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you the concerning me?" In other words, are you saying that or yourself, or somebody else told you? Truth. The Jew were behind the whole thing to crucify him. See, Jesus spoke truth. And then he goes on, Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your whole nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have I done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." True? Listen, is this true? Okay. "If my kingdom was of this world, my servant would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jew." Truth? Listen, is it true? Yes. "But now my kingdom is not of this world." Every time you read the red, try to find something wrong with it. There's nothing wrong. Everything that Jesus speaks about life, about who he is, about where he's going, every word that he said in red, and I'm not telling you, okay, just be a red person. Just read the red. I'm a Christian. I just read the red. No, you read the whole Bible, but understand that what he's saying has life in it. Who he is. So I looked at it and I said, okay, light, darkness. How many knows that? Good, light. God is light. Devil is darkness, whatever. Truth and a lie. And the spirit and the flesh. Let's put them all in one meaning. All mean the same thing. Look at your Bible. You read your Bible, whether you see life or darkness, or it's all the same. Let's look at it this way, okay, for today. So, conclusion, the door to the light or the truth is found in who? We cannot get close to God because we're going to burn like a pretzel, right? But through Christ Jesus, Jesus is the door. He's the door to whom you commend to be close to him. And that's why we put so much emphasis on Jesus, because without Jesus, there is no door that we can go and be close to our Heavenly Father. He is the door. Many people may come and say, I'm a good shepherd, and come into this door, but there's only one door. I'm sorry. There is only one door to God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And unless anybody walks through that door, you will not find the Father. Paul said in Romans 7:18, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Okay. Woo! Glory. Did I ever attack at you? So look at me. Say that with me. In my flesh, nothing good. But in the Spirit, there's a lot of good. All right, because Romans 7 talks about that, but then he says in Romans 8, therefore, there is no condemnation when I am in Christ Jesus. Meaning somehow when you cross through that door, something happened. But don't stay at the doorstep. There's more for you to experience. There is more for you to experience. All right. So it says, Paul says in verse 1, he said, thank God I am in Christ and I had the choice to walk in the Spirit. How many have the choice? You have the choice to walk in the Spirit, meaning to walk in the light. Meaning not to walk in the flesh, but to walk in the light as he is in the light. Get close to him, because now you went through Christ. And you know, whatever he says is really positive, is really building up, is really edifying, okay? Thank God that I'm in Christ. And verse 5 says, but those who live according to the flesh do not do the things of the Spirit. So it says, set your mind. So I went back to John 18, verse 38. How are you doing, Josiah, with all the words? Is he following me? Right? Good? Awesome. We're training him right now. Okay. So that's good, Josiah, but we're going to go to the next one. Let's go to John 18, verse 38. Oh, that's what it is. Wow. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out and again to the Jew and said to them, I find nothing with him. Even Pilate said, nothing wrong with this guy. He didn't lie. Speak the truth. Even the unsaved find he's okay, right? So let's... So I begin to look at conversation between people and Jesus. Does Jesus speak the word? Is it possible for people to speak the truth? Do we always speak the truth? And when you read, when Jesus spoke to somebody, I want you to understand, and you're going to say, this is true what Jesus says, this is a lie. This is true. This is a lie. And Jesus always speaks the truth. So we're going to go to one part. I just picked one, and it's found in Matthew 8, verse 5. Matthew 8, verse 5. When you met the centurion man. Now, what I want you to do is tell me, when I'm done the verse, you tell me truth, you tell me false. So you have to analyze what I'm saying. All right. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, say, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Okay, about this side. Can we say it all together? Throat! Yeah, his servant was sick. Guys, this is a no-brainer, right? This, okay, now the next one. Okay. And he says, Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Truth. That's God. He wants to heal that person. You're getting good. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Truth. So far he's speaking truth. You want to know why his servant got healed? Because he's speaking truth. Then, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Are you sure? Yes. For I'm also a man under authority, saying to a soldier under me, and I say to this one, go, and to the another one, come, and he comes, and my servant, do this, and he does it. True. The man so far is speaking truth. And that's affecting Jesus. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such a great faith even in Israel. Truth. And he say to you that many will come from the east and from the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the son of the kingdom will be cast out into darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I can't hear you. Yes. That's red, right? Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you. I tell you, everything Jesus says is true. And then, okay, and his servant was healed that very same hour. True. They say, why did God heal this man boy or his servant? Because the man had faith. This man came to Jesus believing. You know, he saw Jesus as a great light. And when he came, talked to Jesus, you could see. It was not, well, my boy is sick. Can you heal him, Jesus? Maybe you can heal him. No, the man was really, he says, I got soldier. I speak to them and they move and whatever. Okay, so we see if you read the Bible and when you meet somebody and you talk to them, you can see what's happening. And I could go on, but I just want to finish because I got, really, I want to, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I didn't mention a while ago. It says, desire spiritual gift, but especially that you may prophesy. Do you know what prophesy is? Prophesy is speaking the oracles of God. And Paul is saying, I want you guys to prophesy. Because if you get close to God enough, you know God enough, you know his will, you know his mind, he's going to put it in your heart. And it happened to me a few times where I could not hold it inside because I knew I had a message for somebody. And I mean, and the time was right and everything. And, you know, the minute I said it, they started to weep and cry and fall down and scratch their neck or whatever they did. You know what I mean? So prophecy, we think it's somebody reading somebody else's mail. Well, sometimes it happened. But prophecy is really speaking the oracle. And prophecy is truth or life. And it comes not from the flesh, it comes from the spirit. And I want to show you something that maybe we have 5-10 minutes. And We're going to go to verse 3, 1 Corinthians. But he that prophesies speak and edify and exhort and the comfort of man. Remember at Christmas, we had Daryl reading the prophecy of Zechariah. Was Zechariah a disciple? He's not a disciple. He's the father of John the Baptist. Just a really man who works at the, he worked at the church. Okay? And I want to take you there for a minute. We even call it the prophecy of Zechariah, and we're going to read it, okay? So it's found in Luke chapter 1. Okay? So we'll go to Luke chapter 1. All right. And it's verse 67. Now there's 12 verses there. And I'm going to ask you, when I say the verse, you tell me true or false. Okay? You ready? We'll do the same thing. You guys should be good by now. He says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That means he came into contact with the Holy Spirit. And he said, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. What did you say? Say it like you mean. That's the word of God. Listen. Okay. Okay. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke to my by my mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. That he should be saved from that, so that we should be saved from our enemy and from the hands of all who hate us. True. To perform the mercy promised to our Father and to remember his holy covenant. True. The hope which he swore to us, our father Abraham. True. That's a promise. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemy, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. True. You sure there's not a false one somewhere, sir? It's a 100% prophecy. All right. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. True. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sin. True. You guys are getting tired now. Truth. Yes. Okay. To the tender mercy of our God, which the day spring from on high has visited us. True. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Truth. See how somebody affected by the Holy Spirit begin to speak light. There's no darkness in there. There's no lie in there. Everything is God's word. That's why for Jesus, Paul says that when let somebody prophesy according to the measure of faith that's in him, or the measure of the word that's in him. Because if you don't know the word, you might be just limited, maybe, and that's normal. So I have 5 minutes, then we have communion because the kids are gonna come here 5 minutes. Then we have communion will take 5 minutes. Now, why do I say battery not included? The truth of the Word of God is there. But unless you go and dig it out and grab it and choose to put it in your life and choose to say, okay, because some of us are believing lies and you say, okay, this is a lie. Everybody tells me I have a temper.
I don't have a temper!
You know? Well, maybe you do. Maybe they're speaking the truth in your life. Maybe you should say, well, maybe it's true. God, is that true? Because I want the truth in my life. I don't want to lie. Because, you know, you get to live a lie where you can't get out. We watched a movie a couple of nights ago called The Big Eye. Big Eye. Eyes? Two eyes. Story of a woman in 1960 that began to draw children with big eyes, you know. And she got very, very famous, but she lived a lie because her husband took the credit for doing the painting. For 10 years, she had to hide and do the painting, and he gets all the glory. And she lived a lie. Finally, some people came and said, you're living a lie. Well, he said, what can I do? Well, make the thing known. Tell the truth. And the truth will set you free. So she did begin to tell the truth. Ended up in court. But you know what? The truth wins over a lie. So that's what happened to her. Okay. The truth is not always the truth. That's a deep one. Should I talk about that one? I got 1 minute. Truth is not about the truth. Sometimes you believe things about yourself or somebody else that is not necessarily the truth. And you believe it and you think that's the truth, but it's not the truth. See, God will confirm what is the truth. God will confirm in your life. The last thing we want to do is live a lie in any area of our life and say, okay, yes, God. You pinpoint something in your life. You say, okay, this is true. I want to get closer to God. I got to get closer to the truth. I say, yes, truth. And then I want to, something else comes in and, okay, God, I don't want to do that, but I don't want to walk in the flesh. I want to walk in the spirit. I want to walk in darkness, another step towards the truth. And you know what? You end up living a life that is awesome because Christ has set us free from the work of the law. Now, we don't work because we got to be good, we got to do this. No, we don't do that. We do that because we want to get closer to the one who's calling us. Because we want to. We got a desire to do it. Forget this. Look at that. I'm going towards him. And as you get closer to him, you get closer to the truth, and you have freedom. Amen? You want your battery fully charged? You got to hang around him because he's going to charge you up. He's going to charge you.